Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, guys, and welcome to the show. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I am your host, Frank Williams. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show, and welcome. Those of you who are listening via my show page live online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in to the show. And those who are listening via cell phone or landline, thank you guys for tuning in as well. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. That's where you can call in and listen live to the show. And if you'd like to give your comment or your opinion on the show, just press the number 1 on your keypad, and we will put you on the air. Again, you're listening live to the Frank Williams Show. All right, to get started here, let's just start here. Today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. Come in. If for all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. And please don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. All right. And again, thanks guys for tuning in. I see there are more people joining the show. And again, thank you guys for tuning in. Now, for all of your real estate or needs, whether you're buying, selling, or renting, or what have you, if you know someone that's looking to sell their home or buy a new home, just direct them to me. I'm also a real estate agent. I'm a realtor, and I'm with Keller Williams Realty. You can reach me at frankwilliamsrealty.kw.com. All right. And, or you can just call me directly and, or what have you, or you can reach me through my website there. And, and we can go from there, right? Let's work that out. There are huge referrals for everyone. So, hey, we can make some money together. Again, thanks guys for tuning in. Now, 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. For those of you who are listening online, you can call in and give me your opinion of today's topic or give me your comments or what have you. All right, just press the number 1 on your keypad, and I will get you on the show. Now, before I get into the show, I wanted to say something. I have a huge show coming up tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be able to get to it because I'm trying to get in and do my early voting tomorrow morning. So hopefully I can get that done and get back to the show by showtime, right? And if not, I will do it on Thursday. All right. But I got a big show coming up for you guys. You just listen out for the topic and then tune in. I guarantee you it's going to be one of my biggest shows yet. And also, I wanted to talk about the game tonight. Tonight is the game 6 of the World Series. Now, I'm just, because the Dodgers beat the Braves, and it was just kind of heartbreaking for Braves fans or whatever. I'm not a gigantic Braves fan, but I am a Braves fan. And it just hurt the way that we lost that series. I was just sure that we were going to go to the World Series. I was sure of it. I mean, even when they beat us 15-3 or something like that, even after that game, I was sure that we were going to come back the next game and close it out. But we didn't. And then game 7, you know, whenever you get to a game 7, okay, and we're gonna get into our topic in just a minute. But whenever you get to a game seven, of course it's anybody's game. But when the opposing team, like for us, the Dodgers, when they jump out to a lead and start to beat on you, you know, some of the wind gets taken out of your sails. That's the same way it is for the players on the field. For us, I mean, we feel when we're feeling a certain way, the players are also feeling that way. Believe me, the players are also feeling that way. They start to feel like, man, we're not going to be able to come back or what have you. But, even in game seven, we jumped up 2-0 on them. And I was feeling good. But, you know, at any time, these guys can belt the home run or, you know, you walk somebody and get a man on base and you're like, here we go. Here comes the stuff. And then something happens. So, you know, that hurt me with the Braves. All right. But I believe we're coming back. We'll be right back next year. I believe we're going to have a great season next year. I believe we're going to be right back in the thick of things next year. And hopefully we over the hump and be playing in the World Series like these guys are tonight. You know, I don't like the Dodgers. I really don't. You know, I don't like the Dodgers. So, I don't know anything about Tampa Bay. So I'm not really rooting for anyone, but I don't want the Dodgers. I don't want the Dodgers to win, you know, put it like that. So we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully Tampa Bay can pull out the win tonight and push it to a game seven. All right. So here we go. Again, the call-in number is 516-531-9483. Call into the show. Let's talk. Today's topic is the dismal Falcons. Why are we such a bad team? All right. And I want to discuss the Atlanta Falcons in the awful way that this season has started off. And I say start off because we are 1-6. So it's 7 games in, it's 16-game season. So we got 9 games to go. So we're just about mid-season. All right. I'm praying for a bye as soon as possible so we can be off for a week and see if we can get ourselves together. I was hoping we have a bye this week, but it's not. And then it's a quick turnaround for us. So we play Sunday, and now we got to play again on Thursday for Thursday night football. And we're also playing the Carolina Panthers. And then the Carolina Panthers are bringing back. They say hopefully he'll be back for Thursday night's game against the Falcons. They're bringing back the NFL's number one yardage man from scrimmage, Christian McCaffrey. So he's coming back from a high ankle sprain. Hopefully, for our sake, he won't be back. He won't be ready for Thursday night's game. We don't know, right? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But hopefully we can pull out a win against Carolina. We should not lose against the Carolina Panthers. Period, point blank, anything. We should not lose to the Carolina Panthers. Now, although we've lost to them already, but we shouldn't lose to them again. And then we still haven't played Tampa Bay yet. Got to play them twice. Okay, we still hadn't played New Orleans yet. Have to play them twice. And New Orleans having a rough season. They aren't doing well without Michael Thomas. So we'll see what happens. But getting back to the Falcons, why are we such a bad team? And the reason I say a bad team is because, you know, bad teams seem to lose like we're losing. Okay? And to clarify that, you know, think about it. You got these teams out there who are, you know, we got good teams out there who, you know, they close. They close people out. Okay? They close people out. And we can't seem to close. All right? And why can't we close? Why can't we close these games out? I think it's one thing, period, point blank, one thing, all right? And I believe that if the someone who's listening to the show, maybe we should call in to the Falcons practice facility or whatever and let them know what this reason is how we can start to close out these games, all right? Now, we play decent. It seems like we play a decent game all the way up to the middle of the fourth quarter. So with 8-9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I think that whomever's on the sideline, or when the defense, or when the offense, whomever is on the sideline, they should be huddled up talking about how we're going to close this game out. Okay? Because if on Sunday, the way we lost to Detroit was mind-blowing. Because a good team would have ran this clock all the way down and kicked the field goal. All right, if you don't have a kicker that can kick a 25-yard field goal, that's a field goal from the 15-yard line or so, then, you know, what are you working with? Whether you win the game by 1 point or 29 points, it's still a win for you. Okay? But besides that, and I understand Todd Gurley was trying not to get that touchdown. He was trying not to get that touchdown, but he did fall in the end zone, so it was a touchdown. Now, if we had been on the sideline huddled before we got down here, before the offense went on the field, if we had been huddled and talking and understanding what we're up against now going down the stretch, because we were behind by what? 1-2 points? 1 point. We were behind by 1 point, right? Yeah, because we got a touchdown and an extra point, so that was 7. We were up by, what, 5? We were up by 5 points. So we were down by 2. We were down by 2 at the end of the game, okay? And because we were down by 2, there should have been Matt Ryan and all the offensive players should have been on the sideline strategizing and talking about what we're going to do, how we're going to close this game out, okay? If we had done that against the Cowboys, I think we did. It seems like we did. Y'all correct me if we didn't. But we did have the special teams on the sideline. But what were we saying to the special teams? Were we telling them, hey, guys, you know they're coming with an onside kick. We know they're coming with an onside kick. So when they kick that ball, we got to pounce on it. We got to get on it and get that ball. Now, if there had been a onside kick and somebody got the ball and they got hit by the Dallas folks and the ball squirted out or whatever and the Cowboys got it back, hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles. But for us not to even try to get the ball, let them get the ball, and then we try to get the ball, that's coaching to me. That's coaching. Now, that's what I'm saying. The special teams coach should have been on the sideline. And because they already been driving down the field, right? They had to because they had to kick the ball off to us that next play. So they already been driving down the field. Why in the hell your special teams coach is not sitting down over there with these special teams guys talking to them about what's getting ready to happen? I knew what was getting ready to happen. It's the only way the Cowboys had a chance to win the game is by kicking an onside kick. So I knew that was coming, right? Didn't y'all know that was coming? We knew that was coming, so why didn't they know? Why weren't they sitting down on the sideline saying, hey, man, I know you're drinking Gatorade right now, but we got to pounce on this ball. And that's our problem. That's our problem because we're not huddled up with these guys, sitting down in front of them, saying, what we have to do when we go out on the field when we get this ball? Or what do we have to do when we go out on the field when they try an onside kick? That is simply blowing my mind. That has blown my mind. I don't understand it. I can't get over it. That's been five games ago. And then you come down to the Detroit game and you allow these guys to have 40 seconds. And 40 seconds, I didn't think that Detroit had enough time to come down the field and score. I really didn't, simply because the way that our defense had been playing, you know, decent the whole game. But it turns out that we let these guys go 75 yards in just a few plays in 40 seconds, and they needed a touchdown. They didn't need to get to the 30 yard line and kick a 40 some odd yard field goal. They didn't need to do that. They were down by, 5 points. They had to get a touchdown. So that's what hurt me, is that we, you know, no one is standing on the sideline talking to these guys. I mean, you know, damn what's going on the field right now. I need my defensive team or whatever right here talking right now. Or I need my offensive team right here in a huddle on the sideline, and I'm telling these guys what we have to do to close out this game. These guys standing on the sideline watching the game. Man, you got to be continuously plugged into these guys and telling them what you expect them to do. I blame it on coaching. Okay, I blame the players as well, because it's not just all coaching, because they may very well be being told exactly what to do and not executing it out on the field. That could be it as well. We don't know. We're not in the huddle. We're not on the team. But something's going on with the Falcons. Something real, real bad is going on with the Falcons. And again, I'm just saying, because you know, I'm someone that believes in the man upstairs. Is that, you know, from the start, when the Falcons tore down that church on the corner of, and I go back to this, my wife freaks out when I do it, but I go back to this, when they tore down that church at the corner of Northside Drive and MLK in order to build the Mercedes-Benz Stadium And one of the members of that church, longtime members of that church, was, they had her on the news and she lost it. She said that we're giving up our longtime church, been here forever. We're giving away to I don't know what she called them, a mediocre football team. And she was right, because we are mediocre. Now, we have the roster, or the names on the roster, to be a good team. But we're not, because the coaches can't figure out how to mesh these guys together. He can't figure out how to put everybody together. He can't figure out how to play these guys together. I mean, defense, we came down the field and we slammed Adrian Peterson on a fourth down and goal. That Dante Fowler smashed him on a fourth down and goal. And then, which was pretty much, which was kind of irrelevant, that they gave us a penalty right there. But, you know, it set us back a little bit, but we were already down starting off from the goal line. But, you know, they gave us an unsportsmanlike penalty because Dante Fowler, one of his teammates, jumped on his head and knocked his helmet off. Why is that unsportsmanlike conduct, man? Come on, man. He didn't take off his helmet. Now, if he had taken off his helmet and thrown it and started saying, then I could get that. But they were celebrating and somebody knocked his helmet off, and you call unsportsmanlike conduct. So that means that when, you know, you see these offensive players all the time, they get into it with some of the defensive guys and they get under that face mask and knock that helmet off. And the referee picking up the helmet and giving it back to him. Why wasn't it an unsportsmanlike conduct foul on that play? Why isn't it unsportsmanlike conduct on that play? Whenever you lose your helmet, why isn't it unsportsmanlike? If you're going to give an unsportsmanlike conduct foul to Dante Fowler when his player was celebrating and knocked his helmet off, that's bad. And then another call that we got when AJ Terrell hit Matthew Stafford, and you called a roughing the passer penalty, and that would have pushed us that would have been fourth down. I don't know if they were close enough for a field goal or whatever at that time, but that ended up pushing them closer to the goal line, and then Swift ran it in for a touchdown. That was game changing as well. Okay, and that was a bad call. Matthew Stafford was out of the pocket. He still had the damn ball. He was still behind the line of scrimmage. And we tackled him. Oh, my God. It drives me crazy, but that's what happens to the Falcons. Believe you me, is that when that lady put her stamp on the Falcons way back when they were just now getting ready to build a dome, that was game changing. We tore down that church to build a dome. That was game changing. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. Call in. Let's talk. And again, now, you know, like I was saying, if we don't have the coaches to stand on that sideline and coach these guys every freaking minute of the game, that's what's going to happen every week. We're going to continue to lose games every week. You have to have a coach. You have to have some coaches in there. And I know they got several coaches, special teams, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker coach, all these guys. You have to have these guys on the same page. We need to be sitting down talking all the time. That's what I don't get. I see these guys standing on the sideline. They got their hands on the hips. They watching the game. Come on, man. You the special teams coach. They getting ready to punt. You need to be sitting there talking to your special team guys. Are we going to try to block this punt? Are we going to try to block for a return? Come on now. We're just not getting the job done as coaches. In basketball, when it comes down to the last few minutes of the game, you need your coach. You need the coach to be talking to you from the sideline saying, hey, do this defense. Hey, don't switch. Hey, we need these free throws. Hey, miss these free throws. Hey, you know what I'm saying? You need that all the time because the players are caught up in the game. You need the coaches to pull it out at the end. And that's the difference between a good team and a bad team that we have in Atlanta like the Falcons. We got to get somebody in here with a coaching staff that'll coach these guys right. And, you know, you look at the Cowboys. Why are they having such a bad season? Because they got a bad coach. They got a bad coaching staff. Okay? They got a bad coaching staff. New England, why are they having a bad season? I don't think they have a bad coaching staff. Well, they lost a lot of coaches, but I don't think they have a bad coaching staff. They got a bad quarterback. Yeah, I said about Cam Newton. They got a bad quarterback. And you know, I don't know if he's going to start next week, but he may need to sit down another week. You know, I don't know if y'all saw the game, but the passes he was throwing, oh, my God. Man, he looked like Cam from last year or whatever when he had the bad shoulder. He can't throw that ball like he used to. And then it seemed like, I guess he's scared to run now, or they don't want him to run or something. He's not running. But, you know, the Falcons are just, it's gut-wrenching. Dry up the wall. But, again, like I said in the beginning of the show, the one thing I think that would turn the Falcons season around, and y'all might need to call up the Flowery Branch or whatever and talk to somebody. But they should be on the sideline with these guys at all times, chalking it up. X's and O's. Where you need to go? Where you do this? Where you do that? How are we going to close out this game? A field goal would have closed out the game. May have given them 17 seconds on the clock. But Gurley should have sat down right there on the one, and we should have gotten in victory formation, clocked that thing a couple of times. Let's kick it for a field goal. We got to think better, guys, when we get to that point in the game. Or the coaches got to think better. Somebody got to think better. Somebody got to put some information out there to these players about what to do at the end of these games. That's when we lose, guys. That's when we lose. All right, and again, hopefully tomorrow I'll be here. I have a big, big show for you tomorrow. I'm going to try to get my early vote in first thing in the morning. Hopefully that won't be too long and I can get back to the show. Or if not, I will be on Thursday morning doing this big show, okay? And believe me, it is a big show, all right? Again, guys, thanks for tuning in. Take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of the week. Hopefully I'll talk to you in about 23 and a half hours. It's Frank. I'm over, and I'm out. I'll see you. Come on.
wild, wild west. A state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb is MV. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp beat. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving dreams. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon, now it's 95.